Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience. In this episode, we will discuss one of the largest markets of Europe with almost 47 million of consumers. Sunny beaches, tasty Mediterranean diet, pleasant people, fiestas and siestas, that is what comes to mind when thinking about Spain. And to dive deeper into the Spanish business culture, we definitely need a local expert. So, I have a pleasure to introduce my today's guest, Pedro Jara, an independent consultant from Spain with more than 30 years of experience in retail and business consulting. During these years, Pedro was working on management positions in large retail chains, developed internal and international trade with governmental organization of Spanish region Extremadura, helped businesses to enter Spanish markets, and assisted local companies in their internationalization. Currently, he is running own consulting business, helping companies in their cross-border activities. Hi, Pedro, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Dmytro. Thank you very much for inviting me to your podcast.
To start with, I would like to ask you, Pedro, to give your personal opinion, kind of a short overview of the current situation in Spanish economy.
The Spanish economy is growing pretty well in the last year, especially after the COVID, because, you know, we had a very hard time. It was the same in Spain and in the rest of the countries in the world. But unfortunately, I think our economy is growing up pretty well and makes easier for any company who wants to come here to make businesses because, I think it's a good moment now. We have a political stability and the economy is also very, very balanced at this moment.
Great to hear that. Pedro, I was reading the reviews of Spanish economy and how to do business with Spain, and there are a lot of reports about that because Spain is one of the biggest country in European Union and is very much attractive for foreign businesses. And according to the U.S. Department of Commerce International Trade Administration, there are 17 autonomous communities in Spain with varying degrees of autonomy and cultural identity. Yeah, with like two major, I would say, hubs in Madrid and Barcelona. From their point of view, how do you assess that? How different the Spain is and what you should consider while entering the country in this terms?
As you are saying, the population in Spain is about 47 or 48 million, of which urban population is about 81%, and rural population is around 18%. And, when looking to delve into the Spanish market, it's essential to comprehend that the autonomy of the country. As you say, Spain is composed of 17 distinct autonomous regions, each of its own government, regulations, and laws. These regions have an ample amount of power and sovereignty over their respective areas. It is the reality. Mm-hmm. So it is vital to be aware to the local statutes and regulations before initiating business in Spain. That is very important. Mm-hmm. There are different customs and different ways of making businesses, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even the characters are different.
How they differ in terms of industries? Are there some peculiarities, like some of them are more to agricultural direction, some of them are more to industrial?
Let's say that perhaps Madrid and Barcelona could be the primary economic hubs, home of the most agents, distributions, foreign subsidiaries. Perhaps we could divide Spain in that way. Perhaps the north is a bit more industrial, and perhaps the south is more agricultural sector. Very simple, but perhaps could clarify for someone who wants to know how it works the economy here in Spain.
Mm-hmm. So let's assume that, for example, Ukrainian producer of some food product with some value at willing to enter Spain. What kind of roadmap would you suggest for them to keep in mind?
It's not really the map, but it's more how the retailers are working here in Spain. You know, mm-hmm. Because we have some the different retailers that have a big share of market, such as perhaps Mercadona, perhaps you know it, is one of the main operators here in Spain. They are Spanish, completely Spanish, and the share they have is about the 20% of the market. So it's a very important operator here in Spain. And well, I could name also to Carrefour. Carrefour, you know, is a French company. They are mostly hypermarkets, and they have a presence also in the whole of Spain. Dia and Lidl. Lidl, as you know, is a German company, and is let's say a low cost company, and they are growing very fast here in the in Spain. So. If someone from Ukraine wants to come to Spain and they want to get introduced into the retail market, I think perhaps the more direct should be to go directly to this to these companies, because they have the most of the market. On the other hand, we have to know that Spain is a very touristic place. Perhaps, I don't know if it's the second or the third country in the world on the touristic sector. I think it's something to bear in mind as well, because we receive around 81 million visitors each year. That means that in Spain is not only the current population, which, as I said, it was around 45 or 47 citizens, but it's very important to know that every year 81 million visitors come to Spain. Mm-hmm. Most of the visitors concentrate perhaps on the coast, the south of Spain, and Andalusia coast, also in Levante. Levante means, I mean, Valencia, Barcelona, Costa Brava, because Barcelona is Costa Brava, but also in the north of Spain. The north of Spain is one year after another chosen by the many of visitors. The north of Spain is, let's say, the green side of Spain, because the weather, even the weather, has nothing to do with the rest of Spain, because it's much more wet, more rainy, but at the same time it's more green, and the landscape is spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Do I understand correct that the most part of the retail market is represented by these large networks, like large retail networks that you mentioned, and you should not consider too much the small shops or local stores near the houses or something like that?
No. It's on the contrary. It's the most small shops have also a very huge presence in Spain. So the small market still have a big presence in Spain, mainly in the rural area. You know, I think it's very important to know that to come to Spain and to know the local market is very important to contact with distribution, with distributors, importers, who knows how it works the retail in Spain, the local market, the big retailers.
From your experience, and I know that you have been working quite a lot with retail, what is the way to find these distributors and to establish this first contact? How would you suggest to do that for the newcomers to the market?
Well, I think, on my opinion and my own experience, because as you say, I've been in charge of some different companies, purchasing department. I think face-to-face is meetings with local business representatives are very, very important. The global pandemic has forced everyone to adapt to virtual realities. That is what is happening. But I think here in Spain, so we still expect a personal relationship with suppliers and partners, you know. So it can be challenging to initial communication by phone or email. And to me, perhaps the more effective is perhaps going to different exhibitions. We have a huge, very important exhibitions, not only in Spain, but also in Europe, such as, for instance, Alimentaria. Alimentaria in Barcelona is perhaps one of the biggest food exhibitions in Europe. So many importers and also the persons in charge of purchasing in the big retail companies attend to this exhibition every 2 years, because this exhibition Alimentaria take place in Barcelona every 2 years. And also there is another Alimentaria, as I say, is in Barcelona, and there is another, this Gourmet. Gourmet is another exhibition take place in Madrid. This is every year, Alimentaria every 2 years, Gourmet in Madrid is every year, around April, more or less. And I think the difference between these two exhibitions is that perhaps Gourmet is more for, perhaps I'm wrong, but it's my perception, you know, is that Gourmet perhaps is more for touristic sector, and perhaps more for restaurants, perhaps more for, not so much for retail.
Clear. But Pedro, from my experience, when you are taking part in an exhibition, even if you are not just a visitor, but you have a stand there, booth there, it is not always very efficient if you did not prepare in advance. So if you are going to the trade show, you need to agree on meetings in beforehand, contact the potential buyers from distributors or category managers from retail chains, and then have this trade show as a meeting point with them. And in these terms, again, according to your experience, is it true for Spain or not? And if it is true, then how to get in contact with these buyers beforehand? Is it possible to do via LinkedIn, for example, or via cold calls to these potential customers?
Yes, it works like in any other country. I think we're in the 21st century, and I think we have enough tools to contact previously before going to an exhibition. Because we have, as you say, you have LinkedIn, we can make cold calls, we can send emails. There are many ways to contact previously before going to an exhibition. You have also, every year, the exhibition organization, they usually edit a list of previous customers and also visitors, exhibitors, where you can find a huge list of potential customers that you can contact previously. Of course, always before going to an exhibition, it's very important you to prepare it, just if you want to make it in an efficient way. Because if you don't do that, this you are making a cold waiting, just as you say, staying in the stand and I'm waiting who is coming just spontaneously. So sometimes it works. But I think you know that having a half stand in an exhibition is very expensive. And if you want to spend properly your money, you have to work previously. If you don't do that, perhaps it's not so good as you expect.
Mm-hmm. And how open are these potential partners to just talking to you via phone, for example, if you are just calling them, or responding to emails? What is the most effective way to get to these decision makers in distributors or retail chains?
You know that cold calls are not always easy. That's why they are called cold calls. You are calling to someone that you don't know previously. Most of the times they don't expect you are there. You are going to call them. Sometimes they are not so interested on your product, or perhaps they are simply in a bad day. They are not in the mood to speak about someone or with someone who they don't know. That is the commercial job, the commercial work, you know, because at the end, you have to call perhaps 50 just to have success with perhaps one or two. Mm-hmm. But this is in any other country. This is nothing special with Spain. This is just the word that someone who is in this the market world that has to know.
Again, from your experience, how would you make these cold calls a bit warmer? Perhaps, like, for example, I have experience with other countries when we were using trade associations, local trade associations or retail associations or maybe some local agents that have access to this potential decision makers and with introduction. For example, in the Gulf region, without an intro, it is highly complicated to get to the person. Yeah, so you need to somebody that knows somebody that will introduce you to this person. And this culture of personal relationship is highly developed. How it is in Spain? Do you need to have this introduction from other more senior persons or some other organizations or perhaps from the consular workers from the embassy of the country that is entering or something like that?
I will tell you how I do. I don't know is how if this is how other people in Spain they do it. But what I do, I use very much, for instance, WhatsApp. Before calling, I prefer just to get in contact with a different tool that is not the cold call. But before, I prefer, if it's possible and I brought the mobile phone, is just to write before to say who I am, what I am doing, what I can offer, and then I ask properly if they would like to have a conversation, they would like to have a video conference. When you write by WhatsApp, Telegram, or any other tool we have nowadays, they perhaps won't read it at the moment. They think, oh, it's not interesting. But the message is there. So perhaps later they read it again. Perhaps they could think, wow, perhaps could be interesting, you know? So that's how I do. But this is in my experience. And to me, it's pretty effective. Not always work, of course, but I think we can do it. We have another tools like LinkedIn or even sending an email. But you know that our mailboxes are full of emails. Everyone is writing to us or offering many products or services. So sometimes we don't even open an email. But I don't know why. With WhatsApp or Telegram or these kind of tools, to me, it's more easy.
Maybe it feels more personal, like it is dedicated to you and person has done some job before. You prepared your pitch, your small text, you investigated what is this person about, what might be the interesting products for them. So they feel it more personal for them. And that's why they are more likely to respond through this messaging tools, not the email.
Yes, I think it's closer. Because it's not only that you are writing someone, but at the same time, you have a profile, you have a picture. So it's something that is not the same, but it's similar. When I said before, in Spain, it's very important, still is very important meetings face-to-face, just to establish a link with the customer, with the supplier. It's because you see the face of the person. You see how he is, the feelings you get about that person. At the end, I think the relationship in market is based on trust. You need to trust on your supplier. You need to trust on your customer. Of course, through LinkedIn, you can see the profile. You can see what the other person, the customer or the supplier, what he does and how it works. So we have many tools. Fortunately, we are in the 21st century. I remember when I was younger, it was much more difficult. And you have to make a huge effort to make businesses. Nowadays, you know, you are in Ukraine, I'm in Spain. We can have a very good conversation. And that is something that the new technologies bring to us. But we never have to lose the personal treatment, you know.
The emotional perception of people is very important for Spanish people. Yeah, so you need to feel the person, how it behaves, how it smiles to you, and how it reacts to your words. Yeah, and this empathy to the real person is more important than the words that you can read in email or presentation.
Perhaps because the way we are depends also on the weather. You know that in Spain we have a very good weather. We are used to live in the street, to have personal relationships with our neighbors. That's very important for us.
Clear, clear. And talking about the business culture, so if you already reached the person, you started the conversation. I also found a quote from Cultural Atlas that is saying that Spanish business are very hierarchical. Communication generally occurs at the senior level, peer-to-peer. And when addressing another person, you need to stick to titles, of course, like senior or senora, and then using the last name and communicate in a more formal way. From my experience talking to Spanish people, it is not so much formal. And I assume that this is more like an old stereotype, but maybe you can clear it up a bit and say how it is in reality, how you should behave.
Perhaps 40 years ago could be like that. I cannot deny it. But nowadays, it's not exactly like mm-hmm. that. I think nowadays, the culture of the companies are much more democratic and it's not so hierarchic. I think what every company looks for is efficiency. So it doesn't matter who you speak to, because at the end, what everyone is looking for is just to give you a very good service. And if the good service is given by someone in the bottom of the company, no problem. No, doesn't matter. The most important is that satisfying the customer. But this is global, I think. At least in Spain, I don't find mm-hmm. that. I don't see that it's not. You need to speak to the owner necessary. Sometimes, perhaps, every company is different. But mm-hmm. in general, I don't feel it like that, really.
How open are Spanish people in negotiations? Are there any kind of usual hidden agenda where you are direct and you can directly speak what you are thinking about and discuss some business issues, or you should be careful with that?
I think you can go directly to the point. Well, you know, I said we like to talk. We are talkative, you know, perhaps we always like to start a conversation asking for your family, how are you doing, where have you been on holidays? And after 10 or 15 minutes, you go to the point, you know. perhaps, I don't know, not everyone is the same, of course, but you can find very easily this kind of person, someone mm-hmm. that... As I told you, we always look for the trust. We like to know the person we are talking to. So we like to know about them. The way we make businesses is a bit like that. We like to know the person and perhaps we don't know at the beginning directly to the point. Always saying that depends on the company, depends on the person, but we like that.
Some small talk about the personality and the background, and then to the point.
Yes, about the situation in the country, about the weather, about the football, about. mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then after a moment, perhaps we start speaking about real business. But it's not always like that, of course. And perhaps it takes 5 minutes speaking about something is not the real issue of the meeting. But mm-hmm. we like to make this.
Mm-hmm. Clear. So this is very important to have this personal relations with your potential partner in Spain and establish this trust and make it long term. Yeah. So this is not like one stop shop, but more like a building a long term relationship.
Yes.
Pedro, another very common and very often I meet this stereotype about Spanish people, this mañana concept. Yeah, it's like not keeping to terms not being very strict to the agenda and always answering mañana like it is not too urgent. Yeah, so we are very relaxed in business. How true is that?
Well, that is a part of the dark legend of Spaniards, because many things, perhaps we are lazy because we like fiesta most of all. We work a little and party a lot. We need to sleep siesta in the afternoon to get going. Those all of them are stereotypes. The mañana, not today. Well, the fact is that summer in Spain is very, very hot. So if you want to work, perhaps not so much now, but in the previous year, if you want to work from, for instance, 2 o'clock until 7 o'clock in the afternoon, in summer it's impossible. So what do? We get up very early and we go to bed very late at night because we try to profit the fresh hours in the day. So it's normal that in the medium hours, as I say, from perhaps 2 o'clock up to 7 o'clock, perhaps we have to see it in summer, but just in summer, not in winter. So for a foreigner who comes here, who are not used to make that, they say, oh, these Spaniards are all very lazy because they go to bed in the day. That is something we will never do. So sometimes it's necessary to understand why and the reasons of the things, you know. So there are many stereotypes. People think that, well, perhaps foreigners, that we all like bullfights. To tell the truth, it's not so many people who like bullfighting in these days.
Clear. You have also many years working for government, yeah? So you have been working for Extremadura government, yes, in terms of trade relations. How do you feel, and how do you think, from the perspective of exporter, how it is advisable or not to work with government? Yeah, if you are supplying to governmental organizations or you are participating in some governmental tenders, how would you advise to enter this type of market in Spain?
Well, to tell the truth, I think working with the government in Spain is very easy. As I told you, we have 17 communities in Spain, and we have central government in Madrid, and I think the more is just to go to a site. It's called Plataforma de Contratación del Estado. Is the government platform to contract with the government in Spain when you need to search about the whole government tenders, and there you can find every tender published with all the conditions, and it's very easy. It's very easy to access to a tender here in Spain. Perhaps you have some requirements, like to make an inscription in sometimes on statements or something, but to tell the truth, it's very easy. So remember, the site is called Plataforma de Contratación del Estado. I repeat, Plataforma de Contratación del Estado, where you can find the whole information.
For the listeners, we will add the site URL in the description of the episode, so you can find the direct link to this website. And in terms of language, I know that there is not one language official in Spain, but if you would like to make business with Spanish companies, Spanish retail, how important it is to speak Spanish, or you can do that in English?
Depends on the customer. Importers usually they speak properly English, and there is no need to speak Spanish. But the truth is that the Spanish language is highly recommended, because I think what I have read in the statistics is that less than 30% of local managers are fluent in English. So better in Spanish. But I think this something that is changing is true, step by step, little by little, that managers in different companies are speaking more English day after day, but it's not always like that. That is in my experience. So Spanish language proficiency is highly recommended.
Okay. So you need to either to use a translator with you, or you need to hire maybe the local agent that is speaking Spanish and understanding the business that will help you to establish these connections.
Well, I think to start businesses, I think the best is to have an agent. In the beginning, coming not only to Spain, but I think to another country, it's better to start with someone who take your hand and takes you everywhere in the local language and knowing about everything in the market. So just to start, it's better with an agent, in my opinion. And then perhaps you can start working alone, you know?
And how good is the idea to contact the local government, for example, to contact the government of Extremadura, and then being introduced to businesses via this local government? That, for example, you are an importer that would like to sell goods in Extremadura, and then and they might be this kind of a gates to this region.
That's very easy. It's very easy because in each community you have a public company that is in charge of foreign affairs, and so you can talk directly to them, and they will put you in contact with the different companies in the region. For instance, in my community, Extremadura. Extremadura is in the southwest of Spain, you know, Madrid, Lisbon, just in the middle, we are Extremadura. And we have a public company, it's called Extremadura Avante. So you can contact with them and tell them what you are doing and your interest on looking for customers, on looking for suppliers, on looking for a contact with the administration, and they will provide you out any information you need to make businesses here. But it's not only in Extremadura, but in the rest of the autonomies, in the regions, you can find the same thing, the same type of public company. In the south, in Andalusia, is Estenda. In the north, for instance, in Asturias, is Asturex. And each community has some kind of public company that can help you to get introduced in that region.
Mm-hmm. Clear. So that might be a quite interesting way to enter Spain as well. Pedro, what about the Latin American markets? One of my thought was that maybe you can start with Spain, that is much more closer to Ukraine, for example. And then how likely is to have this window to Latin American companies and countries via establishing the Spanish presence and then with your Spanish partners to export to, I don't know, Argentina, for example, yeah, or Colombia. How close are this relationship between Spain and these countries, and how likely to find a partner that will help you to be established in Spain and then using the same partner to go to this further market?
There are many companies that use Spanish partners to, as a bridge to make businesses in South America, because of course we share not only a common language but also many aspects of the culture are very similar. So for us it's very easy to understand between people in South Central and South America and Spain, because as I say, not only because of the language, because we share a story and also a culture. So for us, I think it's much more easy that from someone who comes, for instance, from France or Germany or any other country in Europe. And we have also many commercial agreements with South America, and even logistics is much perhaps is much more easy from Spain than from any other country in Europe. I think it's a good idea. Someone wants to get introduced in South America, coming first to Spain, and then perhaps trying to go to this part of the world.
Clear. Thanks. And what about the Portugal? How close are the relationship with Spain and Portugal? Can you consider this region as one when you are entering the market?
Well, Portugal, for us, they are our brothers. Portugal is very, very close to Spain. Where I live, I am about 1 hour from Portugal. And Portugal, apart that, is a lovely country, very, very easy to treat the Portuguese, because they are very open people as well. And there is a very good relationship between Spain and Portugal. It's not the same language, Portuguese and Spanish, as you know, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's very easy for us to understand. They are not so different language. Sometimes it's difficult to understand, depending on who we are speaking to, but we are very close. Portugal is one of the main destinies of our exports goods, exporting goods from Spain. Portugal is one of the main countries we are exporting to. Mm-hmm. So, and the contrary is the same. We import mm-hmm. many goods from Portugal.
Mm-hmm. So it might be a good idea to establish sales first in Spain and then having this evidence of cooperation with Spanish companies to go to the Portuguese market and then start the negotiations with them to proceed the sales.
Yeah? Yes, for sure.
Unfortunately, we don't have too much time left to talk more deep about the Spanish market. Perhaps we could come back to that later again and deepen our excourse to Spanish retail.
Yes.
Very interesting conversation. Thank you again for sharing your experience.
Dimitri, thank you very much for your invitation. It's been a real pleasure to share with you this hour. And telling about us, telling about the Spanish people and how can we cooperate with Ukrainian companies, because for us it's a real pleasure.